California Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein has died at 90 years old. She was the longest-serving female senator in U.S. history and had planned to retire at the end of her term after suffering health complications that kept her out of Congress for months at a time. From member station KQED in San Francisco, Scott Schaefer takes us through her legacy after serving three decades in Congress.
Dianne Feinstein's rise in politics began in 1978, when the city was jolted by two assassinations at City Hall. As president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, she announced the stunning news.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
When Mayor George Moscone died, Feinstein became mayor, a job she held for 9 years. Former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, a longtime political ally of hers, said Feinstein's handling of the assassinations crisis cemented her reputation.
It was a dramatic demonstration of how, in the face of total and complete disaster, somebody could stand up to settle the ship.
As mayor, Feinstein governed from the center, winning support from business groups, law enforcement unions, and the city's more conservative voters. In a 2001 interview with C-SPAN, Feinstein attributed her political philosophy to her upbringing.
My mother was a Democrat. My father was a Goldwater Republican. So we had a split family.
In 1984, San Francisco hosted the Democratic National Convention. Feinstein landed on the cover of Time magazine and made the shortlist to be presidential nominee Walter Mondale's running mate. By then, the AIDS epidemic was ravaging her city. The federal government under President Ronald Reagan mostly ignored it. As a young physician at San Francisco General Hospital, Paul Volberding often briefed Mayor Feinstein on what was needed to fight the disease.
I don't recall any moment in the early epidemic when I was told, no, we can't do that because we don't have the resources.
In fact, in the mid-1980s, San Francisco alone was spending more on AIDS than the entire federal government.
And that really goes to her leadership and a great credit to her.
In 1990, after leaving the mayor's office, Feinstein ran for governor. She lost, narrowly, to Republican Senator Pete Wilson. But a year later, the political climate changed with the Senate confirmation hearings of Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas.
Welcome, Professor Hill.
When law professor Anita Hill accused Thomas of sexual misconduct when they worked together, the Judiciary Committee questioned Hill's integrity and motivation, as Democratic Senator Howell Heflin of Alabama did.
Are you a scorned woman?
Feinstein used those widely criticized hearings as a springboard to the U.S. Senate.
Many people took a look at that all-male Judiciary Committee and frankly felt they badly botched the job.
Campaigning for the Senate in San Diego in 1992, Feinstein championed legislation to codify a woman's right to an abortion into federal law.
The Congress must pass it, and the president must sign it. And if he vetoes it, we must override that veto.
Feinstein won the Senate seat, making history as part of the so-called Year of the Woman. In Washington, she championed gun control, overcoming stiff odds to pass a federal ban on assault weapons in 1994. Later that year, she almost lost re-election. But she developed a reputation as a workhorse, someone who did her homework and wasn't afraid to rock the boat. In 2014, over objections from the Obama administration, she took to the Senate floor to release a comprehensive report on torture by the CIA following the 9/11 attacks.
Releasing this report is an important step to restore our values and show the world that we are, in fact, a just and lawful society.
Tom Blanton, who heads the National Security Archive at George Washington University, says the investigation Feinstein directed made the intelligence community accountable.
I think the Senate torture report was probably the high point of Senator Feinstein's entire Senate career.
The election of Donald Trump in 2016 put Feinstein's brand of bipartisanship out of step with her own party. Democrats who hoped Feinstein would step aside for a new generation of candidates were disappointed, even angry, when she sought and won another six-year term in 2018 at the age of 85. In the fifth year of her final term in office, a serious bout of shingles forced Feinstein to miss nearly 100 votes while she recovered at home in San Francisco. When she returned to Washington almost 3 months later, she appeared even more frail with lingering side effects from shingles that limited her ability to work. Former aide Jim Lazarus believes her reasons for staying in office, rather than enjoying retirement, were intensely personal.
I just don't think she could see what else to do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. She felt, you know, well enough and alert enough and strong enough to serve.
Feinstein's most enduring legacy may be opening more doors for women in politics. Malia Cohen, who served on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors before winning statewide office, remembers meeting Feinstein at City Hall on a third-grade field trip, where Feinstein told her class one of them could be mayor one day.
I believe that I'm standing on her shoulders, and I wouldn't be here without her leadership.
While some Democrats felt Dianne Feinstein was too moderate and stayed in office too long, she'll be remembered as a woman who led her city through a moment of extraordinary grief and became an effective champion for important national issues in the U.S. Senate. For NPR News, I'm Scott Schaefer in San Francisco.
Earlier this month, California Governor Gavin Newsom reiterated on NBC his pledge to appoint a black woman to fill Feinstein's Senate seat if a vacancy occurred.
No, I don't want to make another appointment. I don't think the people of California want me to make another appointment. And I don't think that's, that said, it's my job, it's my responsibility. If we have to do it, we'll do it.
However, Newsom added that he would not appoint anyone currently running for the seat and would find a placeholder until voters could decide next year. House Democratic Representatives Barbara Lee, Katie Porter, and Adam Schiff all are declared candidates. Lee is a black woman but has publicly rejected suggestions that she would serve as a placeholder.